Today on VFN TV, we're going to the White House. President Donald Trump has a parent-teacher meeting. He meets with his first cabinet. He swears in Dr. Ben Carson over the housing and urban development and the top 10 places to work in America right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and join me just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. Well, every year the president has a governor's ball, and President Donald Trump invited the governors to the congressional building to have the first one in his administration, but the reports are it's the most governors that ever showed up, and they're wanting to work with the president. That means all these states and the federal government are wanting to work together to make America great again. As a matter of fact, let's go right there, that governor's ball.
Thank you very much, everybody. I want to just congratulate the First Lady on having done a really beautiful job. The room, they say, has never looked better, but who knows? I'm sure it's looked very good many times. Well, Melania, congratulations. I also want to congratulate and thank a truly great Vice President of the United States and his wonderful wife, Karen. And wherever you are, Mike, stand up just for a second. Mike Pence. So I can say that after 4 weeks, it's been a lot of fun. But we've accomplished almost everything we've started out to accomplish. The borders are stricter, tighter. We're doing a really good job. General Kelly has done a fantastic job militarily. As you know, we have a fantastic team. We have an A team, and I'm getting some good reports. There are some big problems in the world. You know that very well. But we're very happy with the way things are working. And again, we've made a lot of promises over the last 2 years, and many of those promises already are kept, so we're very honored by that. And I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to salute and toast the governors, the great governors of the United States. They have done an amazing job. Such an easy job you have. So easy. But you have done a fantastic job, and your families and wives and everybody's here. I mean, I've seen daughters come tonight. I've seen wives. All I know is everybody's lovely, and we're going to have a wonderful evening. And tomorrow we're going to meet, and we're going to discuss things like perhaps health care will come up, perhaps. And I think we've made a lot of progress on that, and we're going to have a speech on Tuesday night, and we're going to be speaking very specifically about a very complicated subject. Everybody's different. Every state is different and different requirements, but I think we have something that's going to really be excellent. And as most of you know, the Obamacare has had tremendous problems. I won't say in front of the Democrats, I'll just say it to the Republicans. It doesn't work. But we're going to have it fixed, and we're going to repeal and replace. And I think you're going to see something very, very special. And for all of you, and even tonight, because we have Tom Price with us, if you see something or want to discuss it, we don't have to discuss all friendly stuff. We can discuss a little bit of the health care. We might as well start. But tomorrow morning, we're going to meet and have some pretty big sessions on health care and other things, whatever's on your mind. So I hear this is a record number of governors, 46, and that's the highest number that have ever shown up to this evening. So with that, I would like to toast the great, great governors of the United States. Thank you. Now, I know it's inappropriate, but I'd like to ask a friend of mine, I've just destroyed his political career, from the other side, a man from Virginia. I've known him a long time, and he's a very good guy, Governor Terry McAuliffe, to come up and also perhaps make a toast. Thank you. Terry, where are you? Come on up, Terry.
Well, good evening. Let me, first of all, on behalf of our nation's governors, I want to thank the President and the First Lady. We have found out this is the first big social dinner of the calendar, and I think they did that out of respect to our nation's governors. So if we give a great round of applause to the President and the First Lady. Now, Mr. President, as you know, I am chairman of the National Governors Association, so I'm not sure if the 46th, the largest crowd ever, is due to my chairmanship or your presidency. But tonight, in the spirit of bipartisanship, sir, we will both take credit for the greatest NGA meeting in the history of NGA meetings. I also want to thank the Vice President of the United States and Ms. Pence. On Friday, for the first time ever, they opened the Vice Presidential Mansion, the Naval Observatory, to host the governors for lunch. That had never been done before. So if we could give a great round of applause to the Vice President, Karen Pence. And let me just say, tomorrow we're all going to meet. We're going to discuss the issues tomorrow. But the one thing we all agree on, all of us governors and this administration, what every governor wants, we want good jobs. We want a good economy. We want the world-class education system in our respective states. We want a health care delivery system that works with great quality health care efficiently at a low cost. We want people to get on our roads and our rail and be able to ride around efficiently and then go see their kids play a ball game. That's what we all want. And, Mr. President, I thank you for having us here tonight. We have a common goal. We are the greatest nation in the globe. And I want to toast to you, Mr. President, and to say we want to work with you to build on those ideals that have instilled and brought all of us governors together, that we can respectively grow our states and grow our nation to be truly the great destiny that we are. So I would like to offer a toast to the President of the United States of America.
That's so exciting. 46 governors came together and said, listen, we want to work for better jobs, better education, and we stand with the President. It was so exciting. Obviously, the cameraman could use a little work right there. They were just getting started. But that's exciting to see our state's governors come together, bipartisan, standing up and saying, listen, we want better jobs. We want better government. And we are focusing fully today on Washington, D.C., because most media doesn't even tell you. They take sound bites of these different things, and they don't show you the unity and the coming together and so many answered prayers of government beginning to work for the people again. As a matter of fact, President Donald Trump met with teachers and parents. Teachers and parents, when he had the new Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, right there at his side, and he was getting a listening session, including parents who homeschool were sitting at the table. As a matter of fact, let's go to D.C. now.
I'm proud of you. That was so easy. You got an easy one for Betsy? It doesn't get any easier than that.
Absolutely not.
Well, I'm delighted to welcome everybody to the White House and Betsy DeVos, who has gone through our new education secretary. She went through an interesting moment. And you're going to do a fantastic job. And I know you would have done it again if you had it to do again, right? She had no doubt that final night waiting for the vote. So I just want to congratulate you. You showed toughness and genius. As I said many times in my campaign, we want every child in America to have the opportunity to climb the ladder to success. I want every child also to have a safe community, and we're going to do that very much. We're going to be helping you a lot. A great school, and someday to get a really well-paying job, or better, own their own company. And a lot of people are looking at that. But it all begins with education, and that's why we're here this morning. And I'm here also to celebrate a little bit with Betsy, because we started this journey a long time ago, having to do with choice and so many other good things with education, and I'm so happy that that all worked out. Right now, too many of our children don't have the opportunity to get that education that we all talked about. Millions of poor, disadvantaged students are trapped in failing schools, and this crisis, and it really is a crisis of education and communities working together, but not working out, and we're going to change it around, especially for the African-American communities. It's been very, very tough and unfair, and I know that's a priority, and it's certainly a priority of mine. That's why I want every single disadvantaged child in America, no matter what their background or where they live, to have a choice about where they go to school. And it's worked out so well in some communities where it's been properly run and properly done. And it's a terrific thing. Charter schools in particular have demonstrated amazing gains and results. And you look at the results, we have cases in New York City that have been amazing in providing education to disadvantaged children. And the success of so many different schools that I can name throughout the country that I got to see during the campaign. I went to one in Las Vegas. It was the most unbelievable thing you've ever seen. And they've done a fantastic job. So there are many, many such schools, and we want to do that on a large-scale basis. We can never lose sight of the connection between education and jobs. I'm bringing a lot of jobs back. We're bringing a lot of big plants back into the country. Everyone said it was impossible. And before I even took office, we started the process. And tremendous numbers of plants are coming back into this country, car plants and other plants. I have meetings next week with four or five different companies, big ones that are going to bring massive numbers of jobs back. So we're doing it from the job standpoint, but education only makes it better. Our goal is a clear and very safe community, great schools, and we want those jobs that are high-paying jobs. We've lost a lot of our best jobs to other countries, and we're going to bring them back. So I'm going to do my job, and Betsy at the education level will do her job. And just to do it very, very formally, I want to congratulate you on having gone through a very tough trial and a very unfair trial, and you won. And there's something very nice about that. And I'll tell you, the real winner will be the children. I guess a couple of adults could be in this, right? But will be the children of this country. And I just want to congratulate you. Fantastic. Yeah. Perhaps we'll go around the room, and everybody knows our fantastic vice president and Mike Pence. But if we went around the room, it would be very nice. So why don't we start? Go ahead. Betsy, just you might want to say a few words first.
Well, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, I am just very honored to have the opportunity to serve America's students. And I'm really excited to be here today with parents and educators representing traditional public schools, charter public schools, homeschools, private schools, a range of choices. And we're eager to listen and learn from you, your ideas for how we can ensure that all of our kids have an equal opportunity for a high quality, great education, and therefore an opportunity for the future. So again, I'm just honored to have the opportunity to serve and looking forward to fulfilling the mission that you've set forward.
It's our honor, believe me. Kenneth?
Ken Smith, educator, helping at-risk kids get through school. Vice President actually has the largest application of Jobs for America's graduates in the country. And we'll, in a minute, we'll talk about that as a solution.
Great. Good. Laura?
Laura Parrish. I'm from Falls Church, Virginia, and I homeschool my 10 and my 13-year-old.
Good. Very good. Mary?
My name is Mary. I'm a charter school parent here in D.C. You could go to the best school in America.
You think, huh?
I know.
I like that.
According to USC.
That's pretty good. Really? Is that right? Wow. Jennifer?
I am Jennifer Coleman. I am from Richland County, Virginia. I am the mother of six, and I homeschool my oldest four. They're grades kindergarten through seven. And before that, I was a private school teacher.
Very good.
Bartholomew Sorenza. I'm a parent of seven. And my kids have gone through both private and public school, and I see differences. And
big difference.
Big difference.
Okay. All right.
Good morning. I'm Julie. I teach special education at a public school in New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Jane Quenville, and I'm a principal of a special ed center in Virginia, serving children ages 5 through 22 with autism and physical and medically fragile conditions.
How is that going?
Well,
have you seen a big increase in the autism with the children?
Yes. In fact, our school has shifted its population, so more children with autism, definitely.
So what's going on with autism? When you look at the tremendous increase, it's really, it's such an incredible, it's really a horrible thing to watch, the tremendous amount of increase. Do you have any idea? You're seeing it in the school.
Yes, I think, I think the statistics, I believe, are 1 in 66, 1 in 68 children are diagnosed with autism.
And now it's coming even lower than that, which is just amazing. Well, maybe we can do something.
I am Carol Bonilla. I teach Spanish in a private elementary school in Arlington. I teach the students from 4th through 8th grade.
Very good. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Vice President, Mr. President. My name is Amy Viana. I'm the parent of two children, 5th grade and 2nd grade, and I live right outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, in Cary, and I'm also a former educator in public and private schools.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, thank you all very much. Let's get going.
Thank you
very much, everybody.
This is so exciting. You're looking at school choice for everyone, it looks like. They're working on, imagine this. I mean, you already pay taxes whether you have kids or not in your public school system. Now imagine the parents that do have kids in school can use the money that you're giving the government to find the best school to give their kid the best education, that could be the better governmental leader, the better police officer, the better sheriff's deputy, the better teacher, the better business owner. I mean, this is exciting. I mean, it really is. And he had homeschool parents right there sitting at the table, and they're looking at every choice. What they want is, according to Betsy DeVos, and we had it on an earlier program, you can watch that. She gave a speech about it, but she wants whatever it takes, the best way to give every young person in America the best education, and whatever that takes. That's very, very exciting. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're still in D.C. We're in Washington, D.C. all day today, as a matter of fact. We're going to go and hear President Donald Trump's weekly address. So make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFNTV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. It's exciting. We're in yes. Washington, D.C. all day today. This is the thing about it. When you watch VFN TV, we're going to give you the whole meaning,
yes,
the
context.
Whole speech, the whole context. It's amazing what secular media is doing. They're clipping one little thing out, and they're building a whole sad untrue around that thing, kind of building. Why not just see the entire thing? This is answer to prayer. I mean, many of you, I know that we did.
Yes.
We prayed hard over the last years.
Oh, yes.
Dear God, you know, that you would begin to move in America, that you would send revival. We prayed over each of these mountains. You know, we talk about all the time in VFN Kingdom Business, and this is the government mountain. You know, we pray. At first, you got government, mm-hmm. you got the church or religion, arts, entertainment, education,
media,
business, media, and family. And the thing about it is, it was so overwhelming. When we first started praying for, we just said, because, you know, the Word of God talks about that, you know, just speak grace over the mountain. So we just said, grace.
And we saw more happening after we started praying for grace.
We just got to change all of our prayers, right? Grace. Grace over my teenage children. Grace.
Yes.
Grace over my marriage. Grace over my finances.
Yes. Absolutely.
Hey, that's really good. Grace over Pat. Right. Yeah, right. Well, we are in D.C. today. The exciting thing is every week our president, President Donald Trump, gives a weekly address to keep us up to date with what's going on. As a matter of fact, let's get there now to the White House.
My fellow Americans, in March we celebrate Women's History Month, honoring the countless contributions that women leaders, scientists, and entrepreneurs have made throughout American history. We are a greater, stronger, and more just nation today because of women like Clara Barton, Susan B. Anthony, Harriet Tubman, and so many others. We honor them, and we recommit ourselves to a better future for every woman in America today. On my 50th day in office, I want to talk about an issue of paramount importance to families across our nation, health care. 7 years ago this month, Obamacare was signed into law over the profound objections of American people. Our citizens were told they'd have to pass Obamacare to find out what it was and how bad it was. Now we know that the hundreds of pages were full of broken promises. Americans were promised that Obamacare would bring premiums down $2,500 for a typical family. Instead, they've gone up by more than $4,000. Americans were promised that Obamacare would increase competition and provide them with more choices. Instead, the number of plans to choose from has plummeted, and I mean plummeted. This year, Americans in nearly one-third of all counties have only one insurer to choose from on the exchanges, or, in effect, no real choice at all. Americans were promised that if they liked their health insurance and their doctors, they could keep them. Instead, millions of Americans lost the insurance and lost the doctor that they liked and were thrust into a cold new reality of higher costs and less coverage. Through 7 long years of botched rollouts, soaring costs, canceled plans, and bureaucratic mandates, Americans have called out for relief. And relief is what we are determined to give them. I want every American to know that action on Obamacare is an urgent necessity. The law is collapsing around us, and if we do not act to save Americans from this wreckage, it will take our health care system all the way down with it. If we do nothing, millions more innocent Americans will be hurt, and badly hurt. That's why we must repeal and replace Obamacare. House Republicans have put forward a plan that gets rid of this terrible law and replaces it with reforms that empower states and consumers. You will have the choice and the freedom to make the decisions that are right for your family. The House plan follows the guidelines I laid out in my recent address to Congress. Expanding choice, lowering costs, and providing health care access for all. This plan is part of a three-pronged reform process. In concert with the plan in front of Congress, I have directed Dr. Tom Price, our Secretary of Health and Human Services, to use his authority to reduce regulations that are driving up costs of care.
We are also working on reforms that lower the costs of care, like allowing Americans to purchase health insurance across state lines. You've heard me say that many, many times during the debates. I encourage Democrats to work with us to improve the health care system for the American people. Also, we will be driving down the costs. We will deliver relief to American workers, families, and small businesses who right now are being crushed by Obamacare by increasing freedom, choice, and opportunity for the American people. Thank you very much.
This is so exciting, an opportunity for everyone. And every week, we want to bring you the president's weekly address. We're in D.C. all day today. You're looking at, if you missed our previous program last week, we had, you know, the president was on the USS Gerald Ford, giving an awesome speech. You know, integrity at the helm is what they had, you know, back on the wall, and the military was supporting him. So you got governors supporting our president. You have Congress supporting our president and seeing them in standing ovation. You see
educators,
you know, people who care about the education of the kids that want to see our young people. I mean, our people, the young people today, that's who's actually going to be driving the car tomorrow. I mean, it's a lot of times, you know, as parents, we think, I don't think she could ever drive. I don't know.
There's going to be a day.
But they end up in the driver's seat. You know, that's what happens. You know, they grow up and they begin to, that's the one that owns the business where you buy products from. That's the one who teaches your kids. Well, listen, it is our monthly supporters, ones that stand with us on a monthly basis with your love gift of any amount whatsoever. And what we like to do is to send you a gift to say thank you. And we have one right here for you with Betsy DeVos, who was sitting at that table earlier on, and Richard DeVos, her husband. Kingdom philanthropic mindsets and lifestyles. Nothing to lose and everything to gain. You know that we are sons and daughters of God. Christians are. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He says that you pray that your kingdom would come here on earth as it is on heaven, in heaven. So we can bring God's kingdom, healing, provision, all that. We got to get the right kind of mindsets. And we have this. We want to send this to you for your gift of any amount. As a matter of fact, here are the details.
Offer 2028, Kingdom Philanthropic Mindsets and Lifestyle. Nothing to lose, everything to gain. What would you do for others if you were given $5 billion and asked to help others? That is the question Betsy DeVos, the United States Secretary of Education, asks herself every day. Her father was a billionaire automotive business owner, and her husband, Richard Dick DeVos's father, founded Amway and owns the Orlando Magic NBA basketball team. Discover how many people she's impacted and how many you can impact when you understand who your father is, the wealth that he has, and how he has called you to use it to bless others. I believe when you watch this message, your mindset, what you believe about yourself and your purpose will shift to what God has called you to be, a philanthropic son or daughter of his. You will never look at the same scripture the same. Ask anything in my name and I will do it for you the same again. We'd like to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV. That's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2028. Kingdom Philanthropic Mindsets and Lifestyle. Nothing to lose, everything to gain.
Have a Bible study at work during free time? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow. I'm calling on behalf of a friend of mine. He does security. The first job, they put him in the hospital. And some of the families, you know, he would talk to him because he's a minister. And he would just talk to him, you know, but he was not trying to force his opinions on his coworkers or anything, but they had put that out. They transferred him to another place. So they're trying to find a reason to fire him. So what are his rights? You know, he's afraid to read his Bible, even when he goes for his lunch break outside of the building.
Yeah, let me tell you this. First of all, when it comes to reading the Bible at work or during lunch break, he has the right to do that. And the idea that he could be terminated because he's reading a Bible is just wrong, so they're absolutely incorrect there. With regard to religious expression at the workplace, it's not off limits either. Now, what you can't do is cause disruption to the workplace. That's kind of a key standard. So let me do this. Get your friend to call us, and we'll get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice.
Stay informed on critical issues by visiting us online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hi, this is John Maxwell, and you're spending a minute with Maxwell. And the word today is entrepreneur, and Christine from Cornelius, North Carolina, sent it in. I'm not sure everybody even knows what an entrepreneur is, but I think everybody wants to be one. Because when you think of an entrepreneur, you'll think of somebody that's blazing new trails, that's making new discoveries, that's starting something from nothing. It's the typical success story of a person who is kind of a self-made person, a self-made man, a self-made woman. So the word entrepreneur really has kind of a magic feel and ring about it. We say, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. Here's what I know about this type of a person. They're not afraid to take a risk. While others hold back, they step out. They're not afraid to fail. They don't allow failure to control what they say, what they think, and what they do. Their life is controlled by hope and belief, not failure. And the last thing I know about an entrepreneur is that they become the envy of others. Because often they do what others wanted to do and what others could have done, but they won't do. So if you're an entrepreneur, congratulations, you stepped out. You did not allow failure to any way control your path or your journey. And because of that, you did what others could have done but were unwilling to do. And that's why I think we like and hold in high respect the entrepreneur.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are in Washington, D.C. today. We're catching you up on everything that's taking place. So many answered to prayers. And one big one is Dr. Ben Carson got placed over housing and urban development. That's where you put, you know, the finances that you give every year in your taxes, every month in your taxes, with helping people get education and home, I'm not education, but home and housing. And he has such a heart for God. As a matter of fact, him and his wife, Candy, and I think Ben Jr. was there with the Vice President Pence when they're being sworn in as the Secretary of HUD, Housing and Urban Development. This is answer to prayer. Let's go there now.
On behalf of the President of the United States of America, it is my great privilege to administer the oath of office today to the 17th Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Dr. Ben Carson. We are joined this evening by his much better half, his much more charming half, and a woman of enormous energy and dedication to the United States of America. Candy Carson, thank you for being with us today. Also, we're pleased to be joined by his son and namesake, Ben Jr., as well as his daughter-in-law, Merlin, and the showstopper for this swearing-in, Tesoro, his beautiful granddaughter, who will assist in the oath of office. We're also honored to be joined, I know Dr. Carson is, by Senator Ted Cruz, who joins us, and Governor Rick Perry, who will be busy momentarily in a service of his own. Born and raised in the inner city of Detroit, Dr. Carson, you saw firsthand how too many Americans can be trapped in poverty and in despair, in communities that are crumbling, families fracturing, and their hope for a brighter future fading. You were fortunate, and as you would say, blessed, to have a mother who prayed for you, who gave you the push you needed to pursue your dreams and climb the ladder of opportunity, and did you climb it indeed? Your inspiring life story is known all across the country, if not the world. Your groundbreaking work as a surgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital has improved and saved the lives of many and inspired the nation. We're also pleased to be joined as a tribute to you by the chairman of neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital. Henry Brehm is with us today. Dr. Carson, your story and that of your family is a quintessentially American story. It's a story of the American dream. It's a story about overcoming. It's a story about character and perseverance. And it is that story and those qualities that make you uniquely qualified to serve as the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development for the people of the United States of America. President Trump and I are confident that your compassion, your care, your convictions will serve you well in this new role. We're confident that you will lead this agency with great distinction and great integrity, opening doors of opportunity and meeting the needs of many of our most vulnerable in this country. But we're also very confident, as you've done throughout this country, that from this new position, you will inspire hope. You will encourage more Americans, particularly young Americans, to seize their dreams, to live their dreams, and live a more prosperous future. And so on behalf of President Trump, it's my great privilege to administer to you the oath of office. Please place your left hand on the Bible, raise your right hand, and repeat after me.
I, Benjamin Solomon Carson, do solemnly swear.
I, Benjamin Solomon Carson, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the office upon which I am about to enter.
Of the office about which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 17th Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Dr. Ben Carson.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Vice President, for that wonderful introduction and for your sacrifice for this country. I want to thank President Trump for his confidence in me and the American people. You know, my entire professional life has been built around trying to give people a second chance at life and a quality life. And throughout my own campaign for president, it was wonderful seeing so many of my patients, thousands of them, every place. Well, right now, our country is the patient. And it's not a Democrat or Republican patient. It's a patient. It's an American patient. And we have a duty to use the gifts that God has given all of us in order to heal that patient. I think we have the ability to do that, and I look forward to working with everyone to get that done. Thank you so much.
Well, this is so exciting. You're looking at, you know, a brain surgeon, mm-hmm. a man who loves God, who loves you, loves the American people, whose years worked on, he has his own organization. He's been helping and giving scholarships to many, many different people. There's a movie out about him, as a matter of fact. The name of his movie
is Gifted Hands.
And
I believe it was Cuba Gooding Jr. that played him in the role.
Yeah, and you get it. You find this is who's over HUD. And just look, humbling themselves to be able to I mean, this is amazing. You got Betsy DeVos, who loves Jesus, loves the kids, loves America, loves the Constitution, loves you, uh-huh. and saying, let's do this thing over the education. Mm-hmm. And now you have Dr. Ben Carson over housing, urban development. You got two people who love God, who love the country, who are moving in the right direction. You put those things together, you got a great educated population living in nice, safe housing and being empowered to yes. be able to be successful in life. It's exciting. Well, the entrepreneur.com has come out with the top 10 places to work in America.
As a matter of fact,
the top 10. So give me a drum roll. Can I get a drum roll here?
It's more of a crowd. That's kind of a crowd.
That's kind of work. You know, so much for the radio on that. So here we go. This is the top 10 places to work according to entrepreneur.com. I was shocked to find out that it wasn't VFN. I was trying to find this in here. I was like, what is up with that? But the number one place to work, or at least the one they actually list first here for 2017, is Bain mm-hmm. and Company. Bain and Company. As a matter of fact, what does their employee say?
You get the opportunity to solve the toughest problems that executive teams and private equity firms face. The work is fast-paced, but also incredibly rewarding. I can guarantee you will learn more at a year at Bain than almost every other job out there.
That sounds like me. Does that not?
Kind of sounds like the military.
We're not
like,
fast
dude.
Enough pace, I guess. You know, we were in Nigeria. You right, know, just right. yesterday, you know, with Apostle Kadiri. Well, the next place they say of the top 10 places to be able to work in America is, believe it or not, Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg.
Yep.
What does the employee say there? Whatever Mark tells him to say.
I've been blown away by how incredible this company is, from its openness to its diversity. Facebook has truly surpassed all tech companies in terms of culture, perks, and employee lifestyle.
Well, I know that he started a listening tour, I believe it was this year's listening tour, mm-hmm. and he's going around beginning to meet the folks that he's been on his social media program, and he was in Texas mm-hmm. meeting with some pastors and some businesses that's going on right there. That's a pretty interesting thing, I think. The next company is Boston Consulting Group. This is the top 10 places, reportedly, according to entrepreneur.com, to be able to work. It's the Boston mm-hmm. Consulting Group. What do their employees say?
Great career progression, opportunity to learn, collaborative culture, very smart teams, and great benefits. Straight to the point.
You're not going to believe what the next one is. It's amazing. The next and the top 10 places to work in America, according to entrepreneur.com, is Google.
Right.
So you got Facebook and Google. It must be because everybody's sending their money to Facebook.
Because that's what everybody's on.
Google.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What do they say? I know what the employees say right there. They got the lattes and the
right.
The comfy volleyball
couches.
And the,
yes. the comfy couches.
The bing bag chairs
yes.
and all the stuff going on. They're very smart, obviously.
They are.
Very
yes.
smart.
Google epitomizes why I love technology and the tech industry. Useful products, smart people, data-driven decisions, and culture. A mission that I can feel good about when I go to sleep every night. This is as good as it gets.
It's as good as it gets. He must have just got a raise.
Yeah, there you go.
No, but it's amazing how their work environment, you get to study their work environment and how to be creative. And
yeah.
they actually look for people that's not necessarily got this great GPA and did the technical thing. They actually look for people that are break out of the box.
Out-of-the-box thinkers.
Yeah, out-of-the-box type thinkers. And that's what the kingdom of God needs. If you're an out-of-the-box thinker, we're looking for you, and you need to join us and contact us there. Now, the next company out of the top 10 places to work according to entrepreneur.com is Worldwide Technologies. This is kind of a theme here.
All these tech companies, that's
Worldwide
right.
Tech.
The company thrives on making their employees happy.
That's what employees are saying, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Knowing that it will make their customers happy. Being a part of a company where you refer to coworkers as a team is a great representation of how much trust is within employees.
I'm telling you, this is fitting us. I mean, what's up with that? You know, did y'all not answer the survey when we were doing this thing? Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to finish the top 10 when we get back from this break. It's amazing when you find out the rest of the top 10 places to work. Plus, the president, President Donald Trump, has gotten his first cabinet meeting in Washington, D.C. A very exciting day. We'll be talking about that after the break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I talked to her and she said, I just left Seattle. And she said, I was in a meeting in Seattle, Pastor. And she said, I know I never met you, but I've been going here a long time. I said, yeah, I know that. She said, I just left a meeting in Seattle. And she said, Dr. Cho was the speaker. And she said, I heard him say in Seattle that the Lord told him, he said, I'm about to pour out my spirit in America. And he said, well, Lord, I said, are you through with America? Are you through with America? It looks like that, you know, everything's just going haywire. Are you through with America? And God said, oh, no. He said, I'm not through with America. He said, I'm about to pour out my spirit there. He said, as a matter of fact, get your atlas out of your attaché case. And he got his atlas out, opened it up, and the Lord said, point. And it landed right on the dot of Pensacola. And the Lord spoke to Joe and said, I'm going to pour out my spirit first here like a match head. It'll burn like a match head, bright, and it'll be powerful. And he said, then it will go over to the Mississippi River, and it'll back up across Florida again, come down into the peninsula of Florida, go up the east coast, down through the west and the southwest, and shoot out to the northwest. And before my coming, all of America will be ablaze with the glory of God.
Welcome back. We're talking about from entrepreneur.com, the top 10 places to work. We don't have a lot of time to do it, so we're going to cover these guys quickly. As a matter of fact, one of the companies of the top 10 places to work is Fast Enterprises. What do their employees say?
The amount of knowledge and growth to be gained is astronomical. The family atmosphere makes working together as a team satisfying and successful, as well as out of the office adventures and team building. I'm proud to be a Fastie.
A Fastie. Well, the next place, the top 10 places to work by Entrepreneur.com, is In-N-Out Burger.
Yes. The company that actually cares about employees.
A burger company cares about
it. It's a burger company. Ah. Very professional and constructive atmosphere. Always busy. You're always busy that you have something to do constantly.
And the next of the top 10 places to work in America, according to Entrepreneur.com, is LinkedIn.
They truly invest in the professional development of employees. Very proactive at making sure that you're in a role that you want to be in. Their benefits are fantastic. Healthy breakfast, lunch, and dinner options. Trifecta, gotta love that. The gym, massage, reimbursements, on-site gyms, and snacks everywhere.
It's like being an intern at VFNTV.
Getting coffee
and all those different things, pizza day. Adobe is one of 10 of best places to work.
Yes.
What's Adobe?
Great company culture, benefits, and overall atmosphere to work. People are very open and knowledgeable, and potential for advancement is very much available.
And the next of the top 10, according to Entrepreneur.com, is Power Home Remodeling.
The career growth opportunity is outstanding. Everyone in the office genuinely cares about each other and wants to see you be successful. Communication with upper management is incredibly easy also.
We'll make all these available on VFN TV on the VFN Torch. We're still in Washington, D.C. We're going to go for President Trump's first cabinet meeting in Washington, D.C. He finally got his cabinet. Let's go there now.
Hello, everybody. I'm proud to welcome everyone to our first official cabinet meeting. I want to begin by updating the public on the severe weather situation. I've been receiving the latest information on the blizzard forecast, and I think we're in very good shape. We're prepared. Everybody in government is fully prepared and ready. And the entire Northeast, it seems, is under a very severe winter storm warning. So let's hope it's not going to be as bad as some people are predicting. Usually it isn't. Chancellor Merkel and I have just spoken, and she's going to be postponing the trip until Friday. She'll be coming on Friday. And we look forward to that. That'll be a very good visit. I've spoken with my Homeland Security advisor, who has spoken with the acting FEMA administrator, instructed him to make certain that the federal government is ready to provide assistance to the states that need federal help. FEMA and the federal government are ready to assist. They are literally waiting by the phones and ready to go. Everyone should listen to their state and local officials, who will be providing regular storm updates. Take that advice very seriously. This cabinet is here to serve and protect the American people, and that's what we're doing, even more so than anybody would understand. The folks in this room have done an amazing job, whether it's security or anything else. I want to thank General Mattis. I want to thank, who's now Secretary Mattis. I want to thank General Kelly, who's now Secretary Kelly. They've done outstanding work. You see what's happening. All you have to do is just watch. Big difference. Unfortunately, not all of our cabinet members could join us. We have 4 empty seats, which is a terrible thing, because the Senate Democrats are continuing to obstruct the confirmation of our nominees for the Department of Labor, the Department of Agriculture, the Director of National Intelligence, and the United States Trade Representative, somebody I want very badly. We're in the midst of getting going, Wilbur, and they won't approve somebody who's highly qualified. Everybody understands that. The main victim of this very partisan obstruction is the American public. Yet in spite of all of this, we've assembled a great team and already made historic progress in delivering results. We're rolling back job-crushing regulations at a faster clip than ever before, by far. And we're seeing companies like Exxon, Walmart, Intel, Ford, Fiat Chrysler, and so many others announcing that they will keep and create tens of thousands of jobs in the United States. Many, many companies are not moving now, which normally they would have been out of here a long time ago. They're not moving because they understand there are going to be consequences. If they move, that's fine, but there will be consequences. It's not going to be so easy. They're not going to fire our people and move and think they're going to ship their jobs back here and we won't be doing anything about it. The first 2 job reports that have come out since my inauguration, we've already added nearly 500,000 new jobs. Right after this meeting, we'll be signing a new executive order to begin the process of reorganizing the executive branch to make it less wasteful and more productive. We're also working closely with the House and Senate Republicans to repeal and replace Obamacare. Obamacare, all of a sudden, the last couple of weeks, is getting a false rep that maybe it's okay. It's not okay. It's a disaster. And people understand that. It's failed. And it's imploding. And if we let it go for another year, it'll totally implode. In fact, I've told the Republicans, why don't you just let it go for another year? That way everybody will really understand how bad it is. But it would be the wrong thing for us to do and for the American people. The House plan will expand choice, lower costs, and ensure health care access for all. We're negotiating with everybody. It's a big, fat, beautiful negotiation. And hopefully we'll come up with something that's going to be really terrific. I want to thank Paul Ryan and everybody, Mitch, everybody. They're all working round the clock. And I think ultimately the big beneficiary will be the American people. We'll end up with a really great health care plan. We're also going to send Congress a budget request that will include one of the largest increases to defense spending in our history. And General/Secretary Mattis is extremely upset about that. And it will be fully paid for, okay? Fully paid for. And I saved a lot of money on those jets, didn't I? Did I do a good job? More than $725 million. So he's very happy with it. In the first full month of my administration following the issuance of my executive orders, illegal immigration on our southern border fell by an unprecedented 40%. I want to congratulate General Kelly. At the same time, I've issued a presidential memorandum directing the Department of State and the Department of Homeland Security to undertake immediate steps to enhance our vetting process. process. So we're further enhancing our vetting process. We want people in our country who love our country and have the potential to love our country and our people. That's who we want. My administration will work every day to serve and protect our great citizens, and we will not rest until the job is done. So this is our first cabinet meeting. I hope this is going to be a historic cabinet meeting, historic in the sense that we're going to do a fantastic job for the American people, for our country, and for the future of our country. So thank you all very much. We'll see you later. Thank you.
This is so awesome. First cabinet meeting came together. We've been in D.C. all day today. As a matter of fact, let's pray right now before we close this program. I want to pray for you and pray for our president. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing, God. We thank you for this cabinet, these people who lay down their wealth and their careers to be and serve the country, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We pray a blessing over their administration. Give them wisdom, God. Give them insight, God. And we just cancel all the lies being spoken out against them. And Father God, we ask you right now, Father God, that you would end abortion in this land, that you would send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved, that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else. And you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they've got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they know. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his father through himself to you when you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.